It's Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward, and for Rob Verrett, you're with us on the Ideas Network. The website Money Supermarket recently came out with a list of what it calls the scientifically scariest movies of all time. They based their list on measuring people's heart rates while watching different films, and they came up with the 2012 film Sinister as the most terrifying. Now, that's just one very specific way of ranking horror movies, but it got us thinking, what really makes a film scary, and which movies have done it best over the years? We're joined by a film expert right now to talk about some of the spookiest movies of all time. We want to hear what you think, too, at 800-642-1234. What is the scariest movie you've ever seen, and what do you think makes for a really good scary movie? Is it the atmosphere, a good villain, or something else? Are there any scary movies you've seen recently that you liked, and why do you like them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Grulis is an associate professor and the director of film studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Film Studies Program. Jocelyn, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Shereen. It's so great to be here.
You're a movie buff, but you know, studying film is your job. You love horror. What is the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Oh, my gosh. I am a huge horror buff. I don't teach a lot of horror, but I watch a lot of it. I've seen so many scary movies, and I had to think about this because, you know what, the scariest movie I've ever seen has to do with my age and the place where I saw it. It was Poltergeist, because I saw it at 7 on TV. And it scared me out of my mind for about 10 years. I couldn't sleep with a closet door open until, well, you know what? I probably still can't, and I'm 45, Shereen.
Well, I remember how much that film scared me, and I'm 55. So I was older than you when I saw it, and I still was really scared by it. So what is it, though, about horror specifically that interests you so much? What is it that draws you in?
Yeah, it's such a kind of hard question because I think that so many of us have this attraction to horror. Why should we want to watch something that makes us upset, right? There's plenty of things in real life for us to get really upset and scared about. I think, you know, there's a lot of catharsis in watching something really terrifying happening when we know that we're in control. We can turn it off at any moment. So that's kind of a way that we often think about why horror is so appealing. But I personally also think about this incredible balance that horror has between the known and the unknown, and the kind of promise of terrifying knowledge, the revelation of terrifying knowledge. As somebody who is somebody who does, you know, work with knowledge, as my that is my job as a college professor, I just find that so appealing, and that's a central component of horror since its inception, really. And that's really what I love about it.
Well, I have to say that some of the movies from way back are the ones that scare me most, despite the fact that movies have come a long way. I mean, we have all these great effects now that can mimic that, you know, frightening experience. But Jim from Arborvita called. He couldn't stay on the phone, but he thought so, too. He said to say the movie The Uninvited from the 40s is one of the scariest he's ever seen. Why is it those old time movies just are so frightening still?
I love The Uninvited. The Uninvited is like genuinely scary. It is definitely not a contemporary movie. I mean, that's almost, you know, what? We're getting close to 80 years since that film has come out. But, you know, I think that that's a great example of a film that relies on atmosphere and on implication. I don't really find something like the Saw movies that scary. You know, they're gross. They're really disgusting. They're upsetting. But they're not scary in the same ways because they don't have that threat of implication. And when we look at films from an earlier point in time when it really wasn't common to have excessive gore or all sorts of kind of outrageous effects, we look at how filmmakers could use things like shadow, use what is not seen, use, you know, what is behind a door that we never really see. And that, to me, that's what makes something actually really, really scary, when we never have that full understanding of what it is that we're watching.
Jocelyn Sapaniak-Galise is our guest today on Central Time. We're discussing the horror movie phenomenon and why people love to be frightened by what they see on the screen. What's the scariest movie you've ever seen? We want to know. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email us to ideas@wpr.org. So do you go for atmosphere, for jump scares, a great monster? What attracts you most?
Oh my gosh, Shireen, definitely not a jump scare. I am not a fan of the jump scare. It's just, I find it a little bit cheap. It does make me jump, but it's a little bit cheap. I really love atmosphere. I love a Baroque set. I love a great villain. One of my favorite scary movie actors of all time is Vincent Price. Every time that he shows up in a movie, I'm guaranteed to watch it all the way through. He has this really kind of debonair, dashing quality where you both are a little bit frightened by him, but you also kind of want to hang out and have a martini with him.
Totally. And that voice of his, yeah, I know what you mean. And I love it. Have a martini with him.
He was a gourmand, you know. He was actually an expert cook and an amateur art historian and just a real man about town, but also made for one of the most fantastic movie villain actors that we've ever seen.
Now, you've been watching some Japanese horror films lately. Tell us about those.
I have. I'm really interested in when short stories are then scary short stories are then made into or adapted into films. I think that's really, really sometimes more interesting than even scary novels being adapted because the filmmaker has a little bit more space, right? A little bit more experimentation possibility. So this spooky season, I've been reading a lot of Edogawa Rampo, who is a Japanese writer. He's really famous for bringing the detective novel to Japan, but I really love his uncanny and strange, mysterious short stories. So I just read a novella of his called The Strange Mystery of Panorama Island that I would really recommend to everybody. It's really fabulous. It's just about 70 pages long, but it has this really strange atmosphere that's all about visual technology in the 1920s. And I don't want to give too much away, but it was adapted into a film called The Horrors of Malformed Men that was made in the late 60s. And the director of The Horrors of Malformed Men was able to kind of transform some of the implications of what Rampo was writing about and make it about the horrors of radiation and the atom bomb in Japan. So I think it's a great example of how a really great scary story can change in its political implications over time and be made into a really exciting, kind of outlandish, but fascinating, freaky-deaky horror movie.
Let's find out what some of our listeners think. We have Rana with us from Cameron. Hi, Rana. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for this show. I love it. So when I was a kid, I would guess I was about 13, maybe. I don't even know. The first Halloween came out with Jamie Lee Curtis, and what was so scary to me about that show was that I can't even remember what the guy with the hockey mask's name is, but he showed up everywhere, any time of the day, day or night. And to me, that was such a surprise to see him in the middle of the day stalking someone or whatever he was doing. And then it was a setting that we were all familiar with, the babysitters at the house. Mm-hmm. We're all familiar with Halloween, and these horrendous things are happening. Another favorite of mine is The Bird. And again, I kind of come back to the idea that, well, we're all familiar with birds that are flocking, and it's not uncommon to see that, but it is kind of uncommon to see flocking birds that want to attack and mutilate people. So those are my two. Well, I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for the show.
Thanks for calling, Rana. And Jocelyn, I have to say, I agree with those. And I love what she said about the daylight, because it's true. There was something so unnerving about seeing Michael Myers in the daytime in this mask, you know, just and not just things that go bump in the night.
Yeah, I love Rana's examples, too. I think what both of them kind of point to is how great horror movies sometimes bend the rules. right? So we have certain expectations for how the genre operates. That's how genres work in general, right? We love genres because we love knowing what beats are coming and seeing how the director will respond to those beats, whether it's a rom-com, whether it's a Western, whether it's a horror movie. But in both those examples, we have the slight bend to the rules. So in Halloween, Michael Myers shows up during the day. That's not how it's supposed to work, right? Like, things are just supposed to be at night. And that's part of what makes it so scary. I think about the film It Follows from just under 10 years ago, where also a lot of things happen during the day, but it bends the rules as well by having the scary apparitions appear very, very, very far back in the shot. So you'll get these really, really beautiful kind of wide, long shots, but you'll see somebody coming from the very, very back of the shot. And you know, it was brand new at the time, really. Nobody had really done it in the way that that film had done it. And that's what made it so terrifying. So anytime you see a horror film bend those rules and do it effectively, that's a kind of watershed moment in the genre.
Well, let's go to Jack from Fox Lake, who's with us and has a recommendation. Hi, Jack. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
My all-time favorite horror movie was Black and White. There's not a drop of blood. There's no monsters, there's no ghosts in it, and it's called The Haunting.
Oh, I did see that a long time ago. Jocelyn, yeah. Did you see that one?
Oh, what a brilliant movie. Of course, it's based on the Shirley Jackson novel, The Haunting of Hill House. It's just a phenomenal film. And again, it's all about implication. There's also wonderful use of sound in that film, right? Like the kind of knocking of the ghost in like hallways. It's just fantastic. And it's also really wonderfully about, and the book really deals in this as well, the kind of undercurrent of repressed sexuality from the main character that also is one of the things that threatens to, like, rise up to the surface. So I think it's a great example of how horror is always operating. Well, the best horror operates on multiple levels. There's a level of the scare, but there's also the level of psychology. There's a level of ideology. There's a level of politics. And it's just a beautiful example.
Appreciate you calling, Jack. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillis is the director of film studies at the UW-Milwaukee. She's talking with us about the scariest movies of all time, and you can join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Why do you think we like to watch these movies so much, and why do you personally like them? Again, we'd love to know the scariest movie you've ever seen so we can add it to our list. And is there a spooky movie that stayed with you, even if it wasn't the scariest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Shereen Seward, in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up the conversation about the scariest movies of all time. Our guest is Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillis, Director of Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee. Plenty of time for you to call in at 800-642-1234 with your all-time favorite scary movies. What makes them scary to you? Is it the jump scares, the atmosphere, or something else? Just let us know. 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Jocelyn, how can films scare us in ways that other media like theater or literature or video games just can't?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I have been kind of turning this over in my head because it's something I've wondered myself as well. I mean, I've certainly gotten plenty of scares from a scary book or listening to something scary too. And I really think it's about the use of the frame because film plays a little trick on us, right? It shows us this frame of action where we think, okay, everything that we need to see is contained within this frame. But in reality, it's often what's outside of that frame that matters more. In a normal, you know, in a drama film, whatever, perhaps we wouldn't be thinking about this so much. But in horror films, that frame can actually be used to a very scary advantage because we can get lulled into a sense of complacency, right, with thinking that, well, we see everything that there is to be seen in this frame. But then in the best moments, right, in the best reveals of the best horror movies, we suddenly realize that there's so much more that's happening that we haven't seen at all. And I think it's precisely that kind of perceptual trick that film can play on us that allows it to really manipulate our senses and give us that really intoxicating sense of terror.
We have Scott with us now calling from Green Bay. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I just want to share one of the scariest things ever happened to me. I went to see a matinee of When a Stranger Calls back in the 80s. There weren't a lot of people in the theater, and as we were watching it, bit of a spoiler alert, when the police call the babysitter back and tells her that the killer's in the house, a woman in the audience screamed, and there was only a handful of us in there. And to this day, I'm still impressed on me, that scream in the audience by this woman, and has always left me with goosebumps whenever I think of that movie.
Oh, that's funny, Scott. Whenever you watch that movie again, at that moment, do you hear that scream still in your head?
Oh yes. Even before that comes up, I'm hearing it already. So, but it was just a great experience. I always laugh when I think of movies that give me goosebumps, and it's When a Stranger Calls because of the scream in the audience.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Scott. I appreciate it. Yeah, Jocelyn, sometimes it's just the things that are going on around us, right? That scares us.
It definitely is. It definitely is. I love that story so much. It's so charming. And I think it reminds us that, you know, we can definitely get scared by ourselves. I'm not one to watch a scary movie by myself at home. You know, let me be quite frank about that. But there's something about seeing a scary movie with a group, right, where we all are experiencing the same sense of fear at the same time. I remember going to see The Descent with my now husband it must have been 2007. I think that's when the film came out, which is a really great scary movie about these women who go spelunking in this cave and find these horrible monsters. And the entire audience was basically screaming their heads off and throwing popcorn everywhere. And it was just like such a fantastic experience to see it like that, because we were all experiencing this at the same time. And there's a real relief too when you all kind of scream together. I just love that.
Yeah, there is some kind of like group release, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
We have Randy with us now. Randy is from Edgerton. Randy, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I think Spielberg does a great job with like Jaws, because you never see the scare almost through the whole movie. You never see the shark until, you know, later on, and it's like it just, the anticipation keeps building all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the same thing with Jurassic Park. You know, you don't see the big dinosaur. You hear it coming, but then. You know, and I also like the fact when they have stuff that's natural, like the birds. And the, mm-hmm. There was a movie with Albert Finney, a wolf, and I believe it was. And it was about the wolves that came back, and they, you know, the Indians said, oh, yeah, they're here. And they came back, they're like super wolves, and they killed all the people that were sick and stuff, you know. But they were hiding out in the... You know, it's like you don't see them till the end, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's all that creepy, you know,
yeah,
like and up through the water and seeing the lady swimming, and all of a sudden she's up there. Oh,
yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, and you know, Steven Spielberg is such a master, and Jocelyn, sometimes I think it's the music, you know, when you hear that Jaws opener, don't you just get a little chill still?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And like, it's all about that music, and music can serve to really heighten any kind of emotional experience. But it works really, really well with ramping up the suspense in a scary movie. I think about all of John Carpenter's movies with the fabulous synth scores. And, you know, for most of them, John Carpenter wrote those synth scores himself. So they fit mm-hmm. so interestingly and so beautifully with the rest of the film because they're written by the director. So I think that's a great example of that wonderful marriage of sound and image.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Carrie from Milwaukee. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll make this real quick. When I was a teenager, I did see the movie Carrie, and I, as a teenager, did look like Sissy Spacek.
Oh,
so
no.
When I was at the movie theater and the movie was over, I went to the bathroom and there were kids backing away from me. They're like, oh my God, oh my God. And then to top it off, this was cute too. I just had my graduation pictures done, and one was sitting at my aunt's house, and my cousin came home with his friend, and he's like, oh my God, who is that? He says, that's my cousin Carrie. The guy started screaming.
Oh, no.
It's so funny. So to this day, when I introduce myself, I say Carrie as in the movie. And then people, they're like, you. Scary? No, it's cute. And so, like I said, I mean, I'm 65, and I live that movie every day. So,
oh my goodness, that is. Thank you for sharing that with us, Carrie. And that movie is really scary, I think. And who can forget the blood over the head? You know, I mean, oh, they're all gonna laugh at you.
I know. And I just really hope that Carrie has gone as Carrie for Halloween. Like, I really want that to be real.
I know. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. We've got about a minute left. Let's take one more call here. Let's go to John from Belleville. John is with us now. Thanks for calling, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
My scary movie was as a kid. In the theater, I saw Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
And
love that movie.
So intense because you couldn't go to sleep or you were going to turn into a zombie.
Oh, yeah.
And the way the movie ended, all of them were being transported into the town. You didn't know if they were going to succeed in intercepting them or not. These pods, you know, that end up becoming your duplicate, but it was not you anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, John. Jocelyn, is that on your list too, Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Definitely. I assume we're talking about the 70s and not the 50s version. both are excellent, but the 70s one is really my favorite. And it's, I mean, that moment, the paranoia in that movie, right? Like, your neighbors are being replaced, your friends are being replaced, your loved ones are being replaced. It's such a fascinating moment of paranoid filmmaking that's then encapsulated into a horror film. That's what the best horror films do, right? They tell us about the politics of our current moment and enable us to deal with our anxieties around our contemporary world. And that's a great example of a film that still has that kind of urgent power.
Well, Jocelyn, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been such a fun discussion. I have all kinds of movies on my list now.
It was so fun, Shereen. I'm so glad we're both terrified of poltergeists.
Yeah, me too. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gleese is an associate professor and the director of film studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She talked to us about her favorite horror films and some of the scariest movies of all time. I'm Shereen Seward, and for Rob Ferret, you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.